Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The Baltimore Ravens, with a gutsy call on their final play, go for two and the win, but they come up short and it cost them. Did John Harbaugh make the right call? The Patriots' seven-game win streak snapped. Did Mac Jones get exposed in a tough loss to the Colts? And Dolphins D lineman Christian Wilkins scores a touchdown and celebrates in, shall we call it, style. That is how you kick off.
Look at my guy.
Right
there, look at him.
A Monday
That's
morning.
Fresh.
Look at the big guy go.
Fresh.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Chris Broussard, Kevin Wild's wild serious question for a serious guy. Is that, in fact, the best touchdown celebration? Old school, vintage.
Oh, it's very good. It looks like Broussard out there in the early 80s, Broussard. Here. You and Roxanne Shanté,
right.
Let's go.
That's right. Pop locking.
All right. We, though, have to start with a shocker in Tampa last night. Saints and Bucks. Tom Brady coming into this one looking to build on his MVP status, coming up against the Taysom Hill-led team. How hard could that be? It turns out very, very hard. The Saints defense were all over Brady in this one. Forced two turnovers, sacked him four times, just made like, I don't even why I should have gotten the iPad. That was just terrible. It's a rough, rough, rough night for the GOAT. The result, a 9-0 Saints win. Just Brady's third shutout loss ever, first since 2006. Evans, Godwin, Fournette, all with injuries as the Bucks will have to wait just a little longer now to clinch the NFC South. All right, Chris Broussard, kick us off this morning. Brady was your preseason MVP pick. Did he lose the MVP last night? He only threw it once. We're just going to show it over and over.
No, Jenna, not at all. Look, he lost ground. You see, I'm not up here in sunglasses chilling. I mean, this thing isn't in the bag anymore. But he still is the front runner. He still should be ahead. Nick, I'm sorry. I know you're trying to make a late charge for Patrick Mahomes, but I really think there was only one guy close to Brady going into yesterday, and that was Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers is close now. He's closer. But when I look at both of them, here's the deal. Brady had a clunker, obviously. But Rodgers had a clunker against this same New Orleans team. In fact, his game was worse in the first game of the season. Now, he's been great since then, but Brady's highs have been much better than Rodgers' highs. All right, Rodgers has been steady and really good at times, but steady. Brady has had these incredible highs. Brady has four games, guys, where he's thrown for four touchdowns, and two games where he's thrown for five touchdowns. So six games of four more touchdowns. Rodgers, three games of four touchdowns and zero with five touchdowns. Not to mention Brady leads the league in yards per game. He's 40 yards per game ahead of Aaron Rodgers. He leads the league in touchdowns. He's got six more than Aaron Rodgers. And on top of all those statistics, he has the narrative. Now, you guys know I vote for MVP in the NBA.
I don't know if he does.
I don't take narrative.
I don't know if he still has the narrative.
I try not to take narrative into I don't take narrative into consideration, but a lot do. And here's the thing, Nick, think about the narratives. For Brady, 44 years old, defying Father Time, and not only winning, because we would be amazed if he won at 44 years old. But he is leading the league.
He won Super Bowl MVP at 43.
And then
Rodgers. You were almost there.
And then Rodgers. Hold on. Rodgers' narrative. What? His narrative is negative. All right, it's that he lied to the media for about not being vaccinated and then missed the game that cost his team against your Chiefs.
Hold on.
So that's a tough narrative to overcome.
Yeah, that is true. I understand that. However, if you actually thought Brady had the strong narrative edge, then your initial dissertation, you wouldn't have sounded like all those analytics folks you dislike so much, like you were reading off a spreadsheet. Well, his yards per game, and actually he has 604 touchdown
yards.
No. We know yards per game. Quite well, this is, in part, if not in large part, a narrative-based award, a momentum-based award. And can we all agree that Brady picked the worst time for his worst game? And by the way, all shutouts or near shutouts are not created equal. I would argue Rodgers' game losing to these Saints getting crushed 38-3 is not as bad as Brady's game last night, because there was no point in that game with Rodgers after the first quarter and a half where it's like, all right, put one drive together and you win. Brady had nearly a dozen chances.
That's a good
ball
thing.
In his hands, down less than a touchdown, and failed on all of them. So listen, Brady was the overwhelming favorite according to Vegas going into the game, Wilds. I said I thought it should be Rodgers. Rodgers clearly passed him, and I know you don't want to hear it, but Mahomes is right on his heels too. 100% based on how the flow of the season goes. Okay, I mean, listen, it's foolish to anoint this award with 25% of the year left. I said that going into this week, that if Brady had a bad game against the Saints, the Saints defense that has killed him, and if Mahomes is great on national TV and Rodgers is great on national TV, it's going to change the narrative. Well, Brady had the worst game he's had, you could argue, in 15 years, getting shut out. Mahomes was spectacular. Rodgers was spectacular. And we still have nearly 20% of the season left. This thing's wide open, and Rodgers should have been ahead going into last week anyway, Wilds.
Okay, let's chill out. And the Mahomes was spectacular for part of the game. He still had two turnovers last game, too. And I know you want to make this about Mahomes and, like, sneak him into the conversation. And these aren't advanced analytics when we're talking about Brady versus Mahomes. I'm talking about raw completions. Brady has more completions, a better completion percentage, more yards, more touchdowns. Mahomes has more turnovers and more interceptions. They both have the same amount of wins.
But does
so
this
I know you want to sneak Wilds, him into the conversation. I'll put him in. I'll put
well,
like, here,
not,
you know
I'm
what?
Not the one
there
doing
is.
It.
He's in. Yes, in he literally are.
In every betting market,
show.
He's third.
You literally are.
In every Wilds, in every betting market right now, FoxBet has Brady slightly ahead of Rodgers. Other markets have Rodgers and Brady dead tied, and the Mahomes is third. So, yes, if it's a two-person conversation, Mahomes isn't there yet, according to the markets, but Rodgers is right there. But it's Broussard. It's not just a stat-based award. It never has been. That's a part of it. But then there's also, are we going to act like if one team goes 13-4, another team goes 13-4, and one does it by finishing on a 10-game winning streak, that's not going to be incorporated? Because it always has been incorporated. That's why Mahomes didn't win last year going 14-2. Because at the end of the year, other guys were playing better.
No, I get the narrative is a part of it, but I still don't think Rodgers has a stronger narrative than against a 44-year-old who is defying Father Time. I mean, seriously. Now, granted, I agree. It is not in the bag, and he's got, I said this last week, he's still got to finish out the season strong. But are you telling me that Rodgers' narrative, and they're not winning 10 straight, so you're talking about Mahomes, but Rodgers' narrative will never be stronger than Brady's if Brady plays well and they're close at the end. Mahomes' narrative, Nick, Mahomes is having the worst season of his career, all right? And the numbers bear that out, and so does the win-loss record. And you're going to tell me he's going to win the MVP? I'll give you that he's third. And if the other two, Rodgers and Brady, fall off and Mahomes is great over the next few weeks, then sure.
Yeah.
But realistically,
but I've never
said he's got the MVP. A long way to go.
Broussard, we agree on, for the most part.
You want him on the periphery of the conversation.
I've never said he's going to win. Right. What I said was 2 weeks ago, to act like this thing's in the bag for Brady with six games to go is insane. And then we knew the Saints had historically given him trouble. Can we all at least agree this? That if we were 4 days ago saying, paint the scenario where the MVP is a hotly contested race again, the perfect storm for it, we would have gotten it? That Mahomes is sensational, 400 yards and a comeback victory. Rodgers is sensational. And not only does Brady lose, he gets shut out. Jenna, what'd you say, for the first time since 2006? We can't, the actual events have to matter. It was everything that needed to happen for this MVP race to be wide open happened exactly in order. So yeah, it's wide open. I think Rodgers should be ahead, personally.
All right, we will have much more on the MVP discussion, not to be lost in this. Again, Bucks lose to the Saints last night. They get shut out. They're in Carolina next week with another chance to close out the NFC South. What are you looking for, Broussard? Because it's not there.
Ouch. Oh, my God.
We are talking a little boxing.
This got me riled up.
Did Jake Paul prove with the knockout title that he belongs right where he is right now? Broussard will tell you next, first things first. Drawing a blank on a Monday morning. Right. So the Nets announced on Friday they are bringing Kyrie Irving back for road games. The Brooklyn Nets owner said, "We're trying to be practical, and I've always said I don't want to make this a political issue. My only religion is to win games and win the championship, and that's where we are." Kyrie was entered into health and safety protocol Saturday, so I'm not sure exactly when we will see him, but it is a very juicy drawing a blank topic, which is why it is here with us right now. Chris Broussard, the Nets' decision to bring Kyrie back for road games is blank.
It's their only hope, Jenna. Their only hope. And Josiah, I'm glad he was honest in that quote, because all this nonsense about, you know, we're losing so many guys by COVID. We're ravaged. And I get it. They are being ravaged by it. Their two games, yesterday and tomorrow, have been postponed. But everybody's being ravaged in the NBA by this. All right. This, to me, is not about, we need bodies. That's why we're bringing Kyrie back. Because why, in the midst of a pandemic that's surging, why would you bring back somebody that's unvaccinated, right? It doesn't make sense. What this is all about is they saw, just like everybody else, we can't win the championship without Kyrie. We probably can't even get out of the East. All right, and Josiah said it. I'm about winning championships. James Harden, I don't think he's as bad as Nick does. Nick thinks he's barely a rotation guy now. I think he's still an all-star, but they needed him to be a superstar, right? They needed him to be a superstar, and he's not that anymore, at least for some reason, not the last few months. Nick, with Kyrie, I know it's only for home games, or road games. With Kyrie, they got a legitimate shot to win the whole thing, especially win the East. So I like it. It's just it's desperate, but you had to do it.
So here's my answer, because I know that you, and I understand it, your feelings are they were, at this point, they were drawing dead as presently constituted, so you got to shake it up somehow. But I'm going more big picture here, Wilds. I said it's a pattern. And what I really mean is a pattern of mismanagement, a pattern of letting Kevin Durant and, to a lesser extent, Kyrie Irving run your organization. And so, Wilds, I want to throw this to you, because unlike Broussard, Jenna, and I, people don't know, Wilds hasn't always just been a, you know, a devilishly handsome face on television. Wilds has run organizations or teams, so to speak, right? Teams of people. I've never had, I don't think Broussard has, Jenna has. You've actually run. This is no way to run an organization. Think about it. Think about what they've done. They signed DeAndre Jordan. Why? Because they knew it was a bad idea, because KD and Kyrie wanted them to. They fired Kenny Atkinson for no reason other than, those guys kind of want us to. They iced Jared Allen, stopped playing him. What? Well, because you have to play DJ. They hired Steve Nash, which, you know, Sean Marks and Josiah are not dumb guys. Like, hey, first time head coach in any capacity at all, that's not what you want to do. And now They're folding their hands to Kyrie. Why? Because KD wants them to. He's playing too many minutes. They've made all those sacrifices. By the way, they're in year three of it. It has gotten them a total of one playoff series victory. One. We're in year three. They've won one playoff series. So I think it's a pattern of mismanagement, which is Sean Marks and Josiah can say whatever they want. We should ask Kevin Durant because he's been in charge of the whole thing.
Okay, so my answer about the leadership part of it is the number one rule is keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is winning games and winning a championship. And the calculus is pretty simple. Are you better with or without Kyrie? Well, we're better with Kyrie, even if it's half the games. Ask Kevin Durant, hey, do you think this will mess up the chemistry? He's like, no, bring him back. So the answer is pretty simple. I think that's fine. Here's the more fascinating question, Broussard, and I'll throw it to you quickly. My answer is home court disadvantage. Because now that Kyrie is back, or will be back shortly, and can only play road games, the question is, are the Nets actually a better team on the road than they are at home? And if that's the case,
it's a five seed.
Do they need to be pushing so hard to get these top seeds, or can you just relax, take Kevin Durant out of the lineup a lot to keep him fresh, because you can go in as a five seed or lower and actually have the better team when you're in your opponent's building. With one historical fact here, the 94-95 Rockets, only team to ever win the championship when a five seed or lower. So my question to you, Broussard, is do you think the Nets will actually be a better team on the road so they don't have to worry about seeding anymore?
I think they will be better on the road once Kyrie gets in. He's played for a while. So if they are in a playoff, you know, series and they've got four games on the road, they've got a great chance to win, you know, those games. But here's the thing. They won't fall to the fifth seed, and they also won't get the number one seed. The number one seed is going to be either Golden State or Phoenix. I'm talking about in the whole thing. Now, maybe they might be number one in the East. They probably will, Brooklyn, the way Milwaukee's playing. So, but I wouldn't try not to get the number one seed, Wiles. I think at home,
this
you still got Kevin Durant and
great.
James Harden.
No,
you still got
this is why this is such a ridiculous idea.
James Harden.
We're already
what?
We've all it hasn't even started yet. And Wild is like, is losing actually better for them because they want to be traveling? This is mark it down. This will not
work. Hold on, let me say
Wild
this.
Is already
I got
like
something.
They should lose games. Quit. It'll be better. Well, are you guys insane?
You're like, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get it next time around. By the way, 10 Nets right now in protocol, including KD, Harden, and Kyrie. So they need all the help they can get. Back talking to Mac Jones now.
Keep running
these
highlights.
Did he get exposed on Saturday in the loss to the Colts?
Oh, boy. Finally, it's here, Jenna.
First things first.
Finally. Folks have been waiting all morning.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, here we go. We are in Indy. Talk some Patriots and Colts. An off night for rookie quarterback Mac Jones. Maybe even an off night. Got picked off by Darius Leonard in the red zone just before the half. Then picked off again right after the half. New England trailed 20-0 before Mac showed some life in the fourth. He did toss a pair of touchdowns to Hunter Henry. Make this a one-score game, but... your guy, Kevin Wilds, the Colts all-everything, do-everything running back, Jonathan Taylor, had himself a night, 170 yards rushing, topped by this, 67 yards to the end zone. Colts win, Pats lose. Their seven-game win streak snapped after the game. Mac Jones with some really interesting comments about the Patriots' state of mind this week. Listen to this.
Starting with me, just the energy was kind of low. Maybe like feeling a little sorry for ourselves because, you know, whatever, we come off the bye and stuff, but not to get into the details, but we just didn't practice well. And that just reflects how we played. It's one game. It's not the end of the world, but at the same time, we could, you know, we can play with those guys and they played great, but we also just, you know, shot ourselves in the foot. So we just got to move on from it.
Not getting into the details, Mac. We want the details. Nick, were Mac Jones and the Patriots exposed Saturday night?
Well, Mac was, and I can get into the details, Jenna, because that's such interesting sound by McCorkle Jones, Wilds' guy. And this is going to be a tough segment for Wilds, so let me start off with an olive branch. America, just a reminder here, because I know you've been tuning in waiting for this moment. Kevin Wilds did have the upset of the weekend called. He did pick Lions over Cardinals. He is spectacular at that. He's been the best in America at those types of picks, which is what makes his just awful Mac Jones opinion all the more disappointing. So here's the thing, Wilds. Let's think about what Mac Jones said there. He said, you know, maybe we were feeling sorry for ourselves coming off the bye.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
So, like, the Patriots had won 7 in a row going into the bye. So either he doesn't know what that phrase means, but I don't think that, or he did the royal we there, because maybe Mac Jones feeling a little sorry for himself coming off the bye because his coach keeps telling him what he thinks of him. After that Titans game, Mac Jones out here, best game of his life, filed 2 trademarks that week. Then what happened the very next week? The greatest coach ever said, "I trust you so much, you could throw the fewest passes in 40 years. And he sat and stewed on that over the bye week. And then this week, after playing just the worst he's played all year, Wilds, just total incompetence for 3 quarters. 3 drives that ended in a punt, a drive that ended in downs. On those 4 drives combined, less than 60 total yards, and 2 picks. Then, when he's starting to play well, Wilds, his coach again shows him, so that's how he started. He finished well. When he was finishing well, though, Wilds, what did his coach show him again? "I don't believe in you." Down 13, 4th and goal from the 7, 9 minutes left. You're kicking a field goal. Wilds, in this nearly identical scenario, a few hours the next day, Harbaugh let Tyler Huntley go for the 4th down. You guys don't have to say, you don't have to agree with my Mac Jones opinion, Wilds. Well, I'm just curious. How many times does Belichick have to show you that he agrees with me on this guy? How many times does the opponent have to tell you we want to make him beat us? The Colts told you that. And what happened?
That's true.
He melted down for 3 quarters. They were shut out for 3 quarters. Like, those are just the facts on the ground, right? Okay.
Yeah. What happened in the 4th quarter? Did he play well? He played well in the 4th quarter?
He never to tie or take the lead. Never once. Never once.
Okay.
Not one time the ball in his hands tie or take the lead.
Here's the thing about Mac Jones. The trials and tribulations are actually good for Mac Jones. It's people that are criticizing Mac Jones, it's like you've never been to a movie before. Like, oh, yeah, Die Hard? Ooh, I started it. Walked out, though. Walked out once he had the glass in his feet. Oh, you know, at that point, there's zero chance that a superhero is going to be able to beat all those bad guys with glass in his feet. That's not it. The point is to go through the trials and tribulations. The point is to go through these setbacks because that's what makes the hero better. And we've seen it all year round, all year long. And people are like, wow, you're saying it's a moral victory? I'm not. I'm saying it is a learning experience that the baby goat needs to go through. What's it like to go against an intimidating legendary QB like Tom Brady? He did it. Do I think he left that game better even though we lost? I do. What's it like playing in the freezing cold and not really doing much? Can you manufacture a win? He did. Do I think he left that game better even though he only completed two passes? I do. What's it like, Broussard, to be down 20 points in the fourth quarter? Has he ever been in that situation in the NFL? No, I don't even think he was in that situation in Alabama. He engineered 17 points. Do I think that Mac Jones is better today than he was on Saturday morning before that game? I do. I'm taking the long view of Mac Jones. And when he has these little setbacks, I actually think it's good for him because he's a rookie, everybody. And yes, he's a great rookie, but I do need him to go through these little steps. When Patrick Mahomes dirts a ball, there's no good takeaway from that. None. When the good thing about Mac Jones is when he throws an interception, oh, I'll learn from that. When he's down 20, oh, I'll learn from that. Would I like the Patriots to win? Yes. But I'm far more concerned about the lack of energy coming out of the game after a bye week and a bunch of dumb penalties than Mac Jones, the baby goat, who is still growing and progressing every week. I actually think this loss is good for the Patriots.
Well, I agree with you on that, Wiles. I do think it was good for them. And I think it was just a leveling of the expectations and the dialogue surrounding the Patriots. All right, this notion, because the question was, were they and Mac Jones exposed? This notion that the Patriots were this tremendous juggernaut, that they were the best team in the AFC and maybe the best team in the league.
But that's Wild's opinion.
That's Wild's, but that's elsewhere too. Like this was growing.
Yeah.
It was nonsense. The fact is, now they're a playoff
yes.
team.
Thank you.
They're a good team. Okay?
Maybe.
But we're judging them because most people didn't even think they were a playoff team. Wilds and I did. But most people didn't think they were even a playoff team. So now we've been looking at them like, wow. But I called it. Vegas called it. Indianapolis was more desperate. Indianapolis's strength, the run game, was New England's weakness. You could see this win coming from a mile away. New England had won seven straight games.
They're
not that good. They were due to lose. And let me say this about Mac quick.
Fair.
Nick, that was impressive psychoanalysis you did on Mac Jones. About he was feeling sorry for himself because he only got to throw three passes. Okay. And not bad, but this notion that Belichick doesn't believe in him. You got to get off of that train, man.
What more evidence do you need?
Why in the world
explain
would he believe
the field
in
goal.
Him?
Someone explain the field goal.
He gave him the
down 13,
Belichick
9 minutes left, fourth and goal.
Many,
explain it.
Belichick has
points.
Shown to be the anti-Staley. Right, the anti-Brandon Staley.
Yes.
All right, Belichick
Wrong.
Goes for field goals. How many Super Bowls did they win on field goals? I know that was a while ago.
Wait, I got to jump in. I got to jump in. From 2001 to last year, what team went for the most fourth downs of any team? The New England Patriots. He is not the bizarro Staley. He just has been the last 2 years
because
he hasn't trusted
Tom
his quarterback.
Brady.
Guys, yeah, yes, thank
the,
you.
Oh, of
yes,
course.
Exactly.
Nick.
Correct. So
of course
on.
He
Wait
doesn't
a minute,
believe.
I gotta ask.
He doesn't believe in Mac Jones as much as Tom Brady. Of course.
Does he? Or as much as Tyler Huntley, evidently. But Wilds, I got to ask, because Broussard, you're right. That if we are evaluating the Patriots, like, hey, they're a wild card-ish team, and we're evaluating Mac Jones like, oh, hey, he's, you know, a quarterback that's going to go through ups and downs, you know, a typical mid first round rookie, then this game, sure, we can put a positive spin on it. Sure, it's no big deal. But that is not what was being said on this show all week. Wilds, we might have thought the Colts were going to lose or the Colts were going to win. You didn't. You all week have been saying, I'm not playing fantasy football. I don't care about Mac Jones' stats. I care about the one seed. Like, why are you talking about Mac playing road playoff games? We're going to be the one seed. Are you now? Do you care? Do you think you win the Super Bowl now? Because for whatever it's worth, if y'all don't beat Buffalo, you are a wild card at best. If the Patriots lose Sunday, they will go into week 18 at Miami without having locked up the playoffs. That's what's on this. That's what's at stake now because Mac Jones was terrible for three quarters. And it's a good thing? So would it have been a bad thing if they won? I'm just curious. It was no matter what, it was going to be good.
Here's my biggest takeaway, Jenna. Nick sure does sound scared of the Patriots. It's like when you watch a political debate. You got to see, like, who's the leader? Who's leading in the polls? It's the one person that gets attacked the most. And woo, there is a lot of vitriol for Mac Jones. And you trying to speak it, you better hope we miss the playoffs. Oh, my goodness. I don't see you talking about the Titans
Are you guys?
You're not scared of the Titans. I don't see you talking about the Bengals like that.
No, because nobody is as terrible Titans
opinions.
You
are sure nervous about the baby
either guy. Attacking because you're scared or because there's a drunk man on stage.
All right.
And you're like, somebody come get it.
All eyes on Foxborough Sunday, little Bills pass. We mentioned Harbaugh's confidence in Tyler Huntley. Did John Bark cost the Ravens, though, going for two and the win again? That's the question. Lots of answers next. First things first. First things first, talk some Packers-Ravens now. This turned out to be a great game. No Lamar Jackson, so Tyler Huntley got just his second career NFL start, and he was something. Went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers all night long, jumped to the end. Huntley ran it in with 42 seconds left to get Baltimore within one, and then that happened right there. They decide to go for two and the win instead of an extra point and the tie. But Huntley's pass to Mark Andrews gets broken up, and that's the game. Ravens lose. Here was John Harbaugh, on the decision to go for it.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to get the win right there. You know, in overtime, I think our chances of winning right there were a little bit higher than in overtime, maybe, if you calculate it out. But felt good about it. Thought we had a good play. And, you know, again, they made a really good play. I got to give that safety a lot of credit for getting out there and tipping that ball.
Are these numbers given to you, and how much of that do you then put your gut into what needs to be done?
It's mostly gut. You know, the numbers are the numbers, but the numbers aren't perfect. I mean, I can tell you this. I've shot a lot of holes in the numbers. And with the numbers guys, and you know, the numbers are never going to be perfect. They don't take everything into account. So you just make a decision. The numbers are part of it, but the numbers aren't the main decision.
So the Ravens lost for the second time in 3 weeks on a failed two-point try. This was the failed try back in week 13 against the Steelers. We got Mike Vick with us now, but Broussard, let me start with you. Especially if you're watching this game, was it right or wrong call for the Ravens to go for two?
All right, Jenna, I'm not going to kill Harbaugh for this call. This was not the Brandon Staley / Nick Wright foolishness of a week ago, okay? This wasn't that bad. I would have gone for it, however. I would have gone for the extra point. And here's why. I thought the Ravens had all the momentum. All right, they were playing at home. They had just scored 14 unanswered points. Obviously, Huntley was hot at a 75-yard drive, a 49-yard drive. Yeah. You got the best kicker in the NFL, one of the best kickers of all time. And I get you don't want to face Aaron Rodgers in overtime, but the possession before, they had forced him to a three and out, and the possession before that, they had held him to a field goal. So, again, I thought they had all the momentum. Now, they ran the play. I didn't really like the play call because I felt the rollout kind of shrank the field for Huntley and he didn't really have a lot of places to go. But I didn't like that throwing the double coverage. But if you look at it, you can see Hollywood Brown is wide open in the back of the end zone. We're going to highlight him. That was it. So I got to give Harbaugh credit both times. Pittsburgh, when Lamar missed Mark Andrews, and there when Huntley misses Hollywood Brown in the back of the end zone. Those two games, they could have won on the two-point conversions. Just unfortunately, the backup missed this guy. But I would have kicked the extra point and fought for my chances in overtime, Mike.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris, man. You know, I think it was a great play call. Let me start off by giving, you know, Tyler Huntley his props. You know, let me give him his flowers because he went toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, and that's not an easy thing to do versus a tough defense at that. And I agree with you. It was a great play call. You know, he forced it to Mark Andrews. He had the hot hand. But if he goes through his progression, extend the play, stretch the play, then he'll find Hollywood Brown. I think that's what you got to do on a two-point conversion. You got to exhaust all options and possibilities. But I'll take my chances going for two, trying to get 2 yards, then putting the ball back into Aaron Rodgers' hands any day. You know, it just makes more sense in the hell with what the analytics say, or should you go for it or should you not at any point in time of the game where it's close. Look, go for it. It's a great play call. The same thing a couple weeks ago. It was a great play call versus Pittsburgh. It was just a lack of execution. And, you know, when I go to sleep at night, I can live with that. Of course, you're going to have to answer to the critics, and it might not go over so well. But yep. I think it was a good play call. I agree with the two-point conversion.
Yeah, I think the call on this one was very, very close. Like, as close to a coin flip as you can get. And I'll explain the analytics side of it, because this wasn't really an analytics decision in a moment. But, Wilds, just first, maybe you can help me out with this. What do we do? How are we going to determine the bye or home field or seeding in the NFC? Because now the Packers have what I'm told is a loss that doesn't count because they had their backup quarterback, but now a win that I assume doesn't count because they were against a backup quarterback. So I'm not sure how this works. Like, they didn't actually lose to the Chiefs. It was a close game, their backup. But now the Ravens, it was a close game. It was their backup without their MVP. So I'm not sure what the Packers' real record is. Is it 11-3 or is it 10-2, actually? We'll have to look into it. On the call, though, the reason this Wilds is so different than the Pittsburgh call. The Pittsburgh call to me was a no-brainer. And the reason this one is more of a coin flip is the amount of time left. And this is why analytically it's kind of split. If you got the two-point conversion against Pittsburgh, it's 12 seconds left, it's game over. The reason this is actually somewhat frowned upon by like the hard data community, the two-point conversion in this spot, is if you succeed, you're adding urgency to the Packers. The Packers now are in four-down territory with plenty of time, 42 seconds left, to try to get in field goal range. Right. If you just kick the extra point, they're going to be way more conservative. So if we want to get really into like the analytical part of it, the right decision is probably go for two with a previous touchdown. But that, to me, speaks to Harbaugh's point that he's not always following the raw numbers. Because the raw numbers say, without a doubt, down 14 in the fourth quarter, score a touchdown, go for two. He didn't do that there. This one, to me, I could go either way on it. I understand not wanting to go into overtime with Tyler Huntley versus Rodgers, but I also don't want to give Rodgers, you know, 42 seconds feeling like he has to get in field goal range. You might not get to overtime anyway.
So if I would kick it, and I would kick it in all these scenarios. I'm not mad at Belichick for kicking it. I think Staley would have beaten the Chiefs if they kicked it, and I would have kicked it here. So, Broussard, put all of the advanced analytics aside, even though I do think the pendulum has swung too far in the analytics side of things. Here's the other raw data. The Ravens aren't good at getting two-point conversions. They were 2-for-7 before that one. They missed this one. Now they're 2-for-8. So rather than debate whether or not it's the right decision, I think Harbaugh has to look at himself and be like, hey, are we making the right calls? Are we good at this at all? And I know people want to give, like, you know, Boy Scout medals on aggressiveness as if that is something to be. So, you know, we want to be aggressive. We have the game right there. I don't buy it. I subscribe to the weird stuff happens. And I would just, like, keep extending the game and wait for something weird to happen. Like, I know, yeah, Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, sure. But you know what? Weird stuff happens. If he's able to drive down into field goal range with 40 seconds left and they beat us on a field goal, I'm okay with that. You don't get any points for being aggressive, especially if you're not good at it. So I would have kicked it. I would have kicked it in all of these scenarios, Broussard.
I think that's a great point. And the fact is, we don't know, would they have beaten Pittsburgh had they gone to overtime? Would they have won yesterday in overtime? We don't know. But what we do know is that they're now out of the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs right now. They had control of this division a few weeks ago. Now they are out of the playoffs. And again, Harbaugh made, whether we can question to go for it or not, but the play calls looked like they were there and they just didn't execute. But at the end of the day, he's going to have to be the one to answer for that. And Mike, I want to toss this to you. Where do you think the Ravens are at mentally right now? All the injuries, they're now out of the playoffs. They you know, have lost these last couple of games, you know, on these in these dramatic fashions. Where do you think they're at mentally Lamar for these last two games that they clearly need to win?
Oh, now, Chris, is a sense of desperation. You know, you put yourself in a bind, and they put themselves in this position mainly because of two decisions that's been made, aggressive decisions and most likely decisions that's going to be talked about for the 2021 season. But that's the bed they made. Now they got to lay in it. So what they have to do now is just continue to fight. They got to win out. They got to win out and pray that, you know, situations around them and teams around them, they fall. And if they don't, then they'll be kicking themselves in the rear for a long time behind, you know, a lot of things that transpired this season. But they had their chances, but they're going to be very desperate moving forward.
All right, we are going to take a break, get back to our top story now. Did Tom Brady lose the MVP last night after getting shut out by the Saints? Talk about that next. First things first. Celebrate Christmas with a boom. Fox Sports proudly presents a documentary tribute to one of football's most beloved figures, the coach, the broadcaster, the video game. It's all Madden, premieres Christmas Day at 2 Eastern, only on Fox. Wait to see that. Some stories to start your morning on this Monday morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Saints, Bucks from last night. And how about Tom Brady and the Bucks blowing a chance to clinch the division, clinch the NFC South? Pin this one on Brady, turned the ball over twice, was sacked four times. Injury is also a big concern for the Bucks. They lost Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Leonard Fournette last night. Saints blowing out Tampa Bay 9-0. First time Brady's been shut out since 2006, as Tampa now slides down to the 3 seed in the NFC with the loss. So, Chris Broussard, start with you. How much trouble are the Bucks in after last night?
Well, Jenna, look, they were my preseason pick to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC. I'm not abandoning that, but it was concerning what happened yesterday, both on the field and then obviously with the injuries. And look, they had every reason to be up for that game. You know that they knew they had lost the last 3 games against New Orleans, that Brady was 0-3 in the regular season against New Orleans. I know they beat them in the playoffs. So they want to come out and let a division opponent know, you don't have our number. We're going to put you in your place. They could have clinched the division. They also could have been in much better position to get the number one seed, which will be hugely important in the playoffs. So they had every reason to come out and play well, and they didn't. All right. They couldn't even muster 10 points. And so I think that it was very disturbing what happened yesterday. And then when you put the injuries on top of that, all right, and you mentioned the Godwin, Evans, and Fournette. Fournette, I'm a huge Leonard Fournette fan. But they can live without Fournette if they have to, because Ronald Jones was their starter last year over Fournette. You saw how he ran yesterday when he got his chance. So he can do his thing. I can deal without one of the receivers, one of them both back, because they're both excellent. But I've got A.B., Antonio Brown, coming back, and he can fill in for, obviously, if Evans is out or if Godwin is out. So I think you're okay there. Gronk was uncharacteristically off. That was odd. But Levante David's another one. And you got to hope that his injury isn't serious. So these guys can't be out for any sustained period of time because then they're in trouble. But I still believe in them, Nick, but they're not playing that well and they got these injuries. So it is a problem.
Yeah. And if this were any other team in the league and we saw a specific team that so clearly and obviously has their number, and the Saints defense has really good personnel, but it's not like it's far and away the most talented defense in the league. Wilds, what would the question be this morning? Is this the blueprint for shutting down Brady and the Bucks? They're 4-for-4 in the regular season. And Brady has the way he turns the ball over against the Saints compared to everyone else, his passer rating drops 30 points. So all that, plus the injuries. Let's just assume, I think for the sake of the argument and because logically speaking it tracks, at least one of these injuries yesterday is going to be something of some substance where a guy has to miss some weeks. They were all important players. And this idea that when AB comes back, he won't have missed a beat, I don't know that to be true. I'm not saying you were saying that, Broussard, but we should assume it's going to take him some time to ratchet up. And on top of all of it, Wilds, they now, if Green Bay just has to win two of their last three and the Bucs are eliminated from contention for the one seed. So I don't know that they have to have the one seed, but they almost eliminated themselves from contention for it yesterday. All those things are incredibly ominous for the defending Super Bowl champs.
All right. Well, Nick, I'll give you two reasons why I'm not worried at all. And the first one is the blueprint. Mm. We knew that the Saints had the blueprint last year, but I think it's a little bit like having the blueprint to like Elon Musk's rockets. Like, here's the blueprint, and everyone else looks at it like, I can't build it anyways. We saw this last year. Saints had them, and nobody could execute it. So surprise, surprise, the Saints still have it, but nobody can make good on it. It's just a weird thing with Brady and the Saints. And the second reason, I'll throw it to Broussard, so what if they lose the number one seed? I don't think it's that big of a deal. We just saw them go through all three. We have three road victories on the way to the Super Bowl. If Brady has to win a game or two on the road, so be it. I'm not stressed out about Brady on the road at all. If it was like, if I'd be more stressed about like Dak on the road, I'd be nervous. Am I worried about Tom Brady on the road, Broussard? I am not.
Well, here's a concern. I would hate to meet New Orleans in the playoffs if I'm Tampa Bay. And I get it. Oh, they beat them last year. And remember, New Orleans destroyed them late in the regular season, much worse than yesterday, 38-3. And then the Bucs came back and beat them in the playoffs. But Drew Brees was horrible in that game. He threw three interceptions, and they had a fumble. So they have four turnovers that helped the Buccaneers win that game. Brady still didn't solve them in the playoffs. It wasn't like he struggled in the regular season against them and then turned it on once the postseason came. So they are a concern. But if they can avoid New Orleans, Nick, look, like I said, still got faith in them. They got Carolina twice and the Jets once. They have time to get right, but they're not playing the best football right now.
No, and last year Tampa Bay over the life of the season was clearly not the best team in the NFL. But they were hot and healthy at the exact right time, and they carried that in, and they, right, injury luck-wise, they're Bakhtiari's out, pardon me, Drew Brees is melting, the entire Chiefs O-line, they had the right timing on everything. Wilds, doesn't this feel to you a little different than that? They are not the hottest right now.
That's
they did
point.
Stumble after their bye. They're the banged up team. So it's not that I don't think Brady can win road playoff games. It's that, don't you think they could have used the rest, the time off potentially? And because you can't muster 10 points, can't muster one touchdown against the Saints, you let Taysom beat you 9-0, Jenna. I think that's incredibly ominous for their chances to go back to the Super Bowl, especially when Wilds, I think Green Bay is better than they were last year.
Yeah, but Jenna, I do think they can rest during that Jets game. Luckily, it's like a built-in second bye, so that they have that game to sort of
every
use
week.
As their
Jenna, every year they get the Jets.
Two games.
Every year Brady's against the Jets.
We got more football tonight and tomorrow night. Undisputed starts right now.